Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How's everybody doing? I hope everyone is doing well and staying healthy and happy during our pandemic that we are still in the middle of. I have my returning guest and friend, Reverend Gregory Possman on today. And I love when Gregory joins me. He's going to live channel as he does so well later in the show. And he's channeling Master Teacher Spirit today. So stay tuned for that. A couple weeks ago, and I think I may have mentioned last week was a little crazy getting on. We got on a little late, but I may have mentioned it. I can't remember that next week I was invited to be the local author in a ribbon cutting ceremony at a new Barnes & Noble opening if you're in Florida, in Coral Springs, Florida. It's on October 6th. It's at 10 a.m. That's when the store opens. And I was so excited to be asked and to be featured as the local author to help open the store. And I'm doing a book signing of my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And I'm pretty sure the new local newspaper is going to be there, so that'll be exciting. So I'll share more about that for those of you who listen to me on a regular basis who aren't local and can't make it. And for those of you who just happen to be tuning into my show for the first time, I'm also an author, and my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, is out. It came out in the end of 2019, and there are 30 manifesting stories along with photographs that I took of the contributors' postcards. And in my book, I include writing exercises to help us get clear in what we want to manifest and a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest health, money, love, career, and so much more. So if you're interested in doing inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, please go to your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. And if you are local, come on by next week on October 6th at Barnes & Noble in Coral Springs for the opening of the new store. Each week, I share a Magic Monday message, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation that I like to focus on for that week. I tap into the energy of that affirmation and keep repeating it to myself to increase its power to become a new belief that I incorporate into my life. And this week's manifestation affirmation is, make a life you love. So what does that look like? Well, we know that doesn't mean everything is perfect. If things need to be perfect for us to have a life we love and enjoy, then we are doomed to be miserable because there will always be something that isn't perfect, right? Life is full of challenges and we will always be facing them. And that doesn't mean we can't have a life we love. So what does making a life you love look like? Well, creating a life you love with gratitude practices, that's a good way to do it. I always talk about the importance of gratitude a lot, especially for manifesting, and having gratitude in our life for what we already have makes us see how blessed we really are, right? Releasing toxic relationships should be a priority in making a life that you love. You know those relationships that every time you end a conversation or you leave their presence, you feel exhausted because they suck the life out of you. They are the takers and not the givers, and those relationships should be readjusted. Those that are super toxic should be released completely, in my opinion. And those that maybe are somewhat toxic, maybe their family, it's not so easy to just leave the relationship. Maybe you can now establish some strong boundaries and put those in place. That is loving to yourself. That is protecting yourself, and it will definitely make your life more enjoyable. And of course, following your own heart. When we listen to our hearts, we can ask ourselves if we are on our right and genuine path. If there is apathy or ambiguity for what we are currently doing, we know that somewhere and somehow we have gone off course, that we are not on the path that we should be, the path of fulfillment, and the path of that is our true course. Our hearts will guide us towards our true direction and our ultimate calling if we are willing to listen. Sometimes we have to take a risk as our heart may be leading us somewhere completely different than our mind thinks we should go. So I say trust it. Our heart leads us where we need to go. Sometimes it isn't pleasant, but we may have needed that experience to grow. I have learned to trust my heart when it has something to say. So there are just to name a few examples of how you can make a life you love. There are many more, and the most important thing is to trust yourself and your inner guidance to know what is right for you. To see my Magic Monday messages, the images, the photographs, and the message, you can find them on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com, or across any of my social media, Postcards to the Universe. And recently, I have been exploring TikTok, and I've been having some fun there, actually, playing around with these little videos on TikTok, so you can check it out there. Okay, so next week, I have author Dr. Neil Elliott as my guest, and Dr. Neil found himself depressed, anxious, and fearful. He felt trapped. There was no way out. Searching desperately for a sliver of hope, a reason to keep going, he found a higher road. More accurately, it found him. As he traveled that road, he discovered a 7-step process that transformed his life. Dr. Elliott's book, A Higher Road, Cleanse Your Consciousness to Transcend the Ego and Ascend Spiritually, was born. Neil believes that as more and more people follow this higher road to true spiritual perfection, a new era of love and peace will dawn for everyone throughout the world. So you can join me for that next week. Now to bring on my friend, Gregory Possman. For those of you who don't know who Gregory is, I'm just going to read you a brief little bio on him. Reverend Gregory Possman began as a psychic trance channel in 1991. Gregory channels over 40 light beings, including Sananda, archangels, Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel, as well as master teacher, spirit, Kuan Yin, Mary, and he's going to be live channeling today on the show after our first break. Reverend Dr. Possman performs workshops throughout the world and offers recorded channeled private sessions by phone. Each month, a free channeled messages are available at his website, GregoryPossman.com. So you can find out more about him there. Hey, Gregory, how are you doing?
I am superb. Thank you.
Trying to say that well. 5 times fast. Reverend Dr. Crafter Greg. I'm like, wait, no, not Dr. Reverend. Get me great over here.
Let's just stick with Gregory. How's that?
Okay, well, that sounds good. So I know that you recently went, where did you go? Denmark, was it?
Denmark.
You were trapped. Denmark. How was that? Can you share a little bit about your trip?
Well, once we got there, flying is always a great adventure. And once we finally got there, we had 26 people in a weekend retreat. And we did, we had people from America, from Denmark, from Canada, and also from Norway. So it was kind of an international sort of gathering. And I always look at them as, they're called Shambhala gatherings. And I always look at them like a family reunion, because all of these folks have known each other in some life or other, even if they haven't met in this life. So, but in essence, the work involved putting a lot of encodements into the earth, mm-hmm. and that was done. And we were told that the Venusians and possibly the Syrians would show off some proof of their existence. And several of our members saw some very fascinating lights in the sky out over the ocean. Unfortunately, I didn't see them, but I understand why that happened. My faith is always questioned, and so they got to see them, but I didn't. And one of our members got some photographs of what she believed were some Syrians, and they were lights that showed up on the ground on the earth. So I was very, very happy that that we had that sort of proof, if you will. Not that it was needed. It wasn't needed. We're always guided by our faith, so to speak. But at any rate, it was an incredible weekend, and I'm very grateful for all the people that came and also for all the work that was done. And it was a fantastic journey, and got to spend a lot of times. I hadn't been to Denmark for over I think it's been a year and a half now because of the pandemic. And so it was a fantastic opportunity and a great experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was probably nice to get out of here for a little bit too. So during that time, you said that there was some, how did you say it? There was some given to the earth from the Venusians?
Encodements.
Yeah, encodements, that's the word, right. So what does that mean?
To me, it means sort of like, I'm going to say energetic programming. Mm-hmm. And that programming is all about unconditional love. And when I'm going to say that the cream of the crop showed up at that particular gathering, these were highly spiritual people and very loving people, very generous people, very giving people, and very compassionate people. And they are people who have been attending some of my workshops for 15, 20 years. So I feel like it's a kind of group that has been groomed, I guess is the way to put it. I don't want it to sound like a cult or some crazy thing like that. It's not. But there are people who have done a tremendous amount of work on themselves. And I was listening to what you were saying earlier on in the program, and there are people who have generated and created lives that they love. And I'll say that they have brought the magic into their lives, and they're just amazing people. And when you get that kind of people together in a group, you have some amazing energy. And that's exactly what we experienced. It was just, I don't know, it was like a family reunion where you don't have to eat potato salad and, you know, you don't have to listen to Uncle Ed or whoever. But everybody is just comes together and it feels fantastic. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, when you get that much love in a space and it's, and then, I mean, it's like ceremony. You create ceremony, you create sacred space, and all of a sudden it feels as though all the entities on the other side are right there with you. And that's what it felt like. And we had these amazing crystals in the center of the room and flowers everywhere. People brought beautiful flowers. And then just to have all these smiling faces, and the place made great vegetarian food for us. I mean, everything that we needed was right there. And it's right on the ocean. So it was, just the whole thing was incredible. I don't know how to describe it.
It sounds really incredible. It really does. It sounds like that you're with your soul family.
Absolutely.
You found like your soul family.
I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, because sometimes our family, you know, when I was talking about removing toxic people, you know, sometimes toxic people show up in our very own blood family, right? And it's not so easy to just remove. So the wonderful thing, especially now with the being able to connect to people all over the world, is we can find our soul families, right? We don't have to be related to them through blood.
Absolutely. And on the 20, I wrote it down. I don't know where I put it. So I think it's on the 21st. It's the Saturday, and we're going to do another webinar, and I'm going to call it the Spirit Family Gathering, and that is what it feels like. It feels like a whole spirit family, and of course, in the webinars, it's great because you can see everybody's face, at least the ones who want to be seen, and they're from all over the world, and they come from everywhere, and it's just fantastic when these people come together and they look at a face that they have never seen, supposedly, and all of a sudden it feels as though they recognize them.
Yeah.
And as I say, it feels as though you're looking at their soul, their energy, their spirit, and in the process you look into their eyes and you just think, wow, I know this person. I don't know where from or why, but I know who this person is. And you feel that familiarity, and Master Teacher Spirit has explained it a few times, and he says sometimes, and it's not a he, but that's how I feel it. So anyway, he says that you feel kind of a gong or a clunk, and if it's a gong that's going off, there's a reason for that, and it's energetic. It's part of the nature of whatever relationship you've been in with them, and if it's a clunk, then that's an opportunity to heal something. So it's powerful to investigate what that relationship might have been, and do everything you can to either forgive them or be forgiven by them, if that's the case, and clear that. And so it's a great opportunity. And I also believe that those family members that you're talking about that make us a little crazy, I think it's the same thing. We have that opportunity, that opportunity to forgive and let go and hopefully clear that and heal the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have to keep coming back and doing the same dance over and over again.
Heaven hopes not.
Exactly. Oh, I know. I'm going to pay attention now, gong or clunk, because I think I've had a couple of clunks. Now that I think about it. Oh, my God.
Well, you're not alone. I think we've all had a few clunks here and there.
Oh, Lord, when you said that, it just like resonated so well. I'm like, oh, I know a few clunks.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the interesting thing about it is I think that when we heal whatever the issue is between us by asking ourselves, what is it, what characteristic is it about this person that I just can't handle?
Right.
Well, of course, we're looking at our own stuff because we're reflecting exactly what bothers us about us. And then once we start examining that and shifting that pattern, it turns into a situation where we spend less and less time with them. Or if we are spending a lot of time with them, whatever it is they do, it doesn't bother us anymore. It just feels like, well, that's who they are. It's how they are. And it's what they are. And it's all good. It's all okay.
Exactly. All right. So we're going to do our break right now because we're at the 20-minute mark. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Master Teacher Spirit who's coming through. And then we'll go right into it. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, okay. Guys. Stay tuned. And Gregory and I will be back in 2 minutes.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. I have Gregory Possman on, and Gregory's going to do some live channeling today with me and us. And Gregory, before we start, Gregory and I talk, you know, before the show, and we always think, you know, who wants to come through? And usually I ask him, is there anybody that kind of wants to come through? Or he'll ask me, is there something specific you want to talk about? And Master Teacher Spirit decided that I'm going to use he also as a pronoun for just because, was going to come through. So can you tell us a little bit about Master Teacher Spirit?
They are a group, and mm-hmm. he has described, they have described themselves
right.
as over 5,000 entities who actually come through in one voice.
Okay.
For the purpose of communication, of course, listening to 5,000 voices could be a real challenge.
Sure.
And so they have never been human on this planet, mm-hmm. but they have helped a tremendous number of people. And talk a little bit about the fact that sooner or later they will have to incarnate on the planet. But they have a massive amount of experience and just an incredible amount of wisdom, as I see it. And of course, so do all the other entities that I bring mm-hmm. through. But I just find them to be very easy to understand. And it almost seems unbelievable that they've not been human. They talk about the fact that they can enlist my experiences, and I have given them permission to talk about my experiences. So oftentimes they'll bring up something that has happened in my life or lifetimes, and they use that as an example. But I just find them to be incredibly wise and really, really interesting. So we'll see how you feel about them.
I'm sure I will feel the same way. Okay, so they said that they have to have an incarnation on Earth? They will have to. Okay.
They will have to. And they're very funny. They say they're not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't blame them. It's not easy.
Might be a certain amount of empathy there. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. So Gregory was saying that because every week I'm always working on an affirmation, right? To incorporate that as a new belief, that maybe we should pick a couple of affirmations to start with, and we can talk to them, Master Teacher Spirit, on what their understanding of the affirmation is and how we can utilize it, or maybe download it better into our belief system. Does that sound like a right way to kind of say it?
Sure. I would also use the word transform our experience.
Okay.
In terms of how we approach that particular affirmation.
Okay. So I'm going to let you go ahead and remove yourself so that they can come through, and I'll start asking them questions.
Sounds good. Here we go.
Thank you. Okay.
Greetings. We are the one called the Master Teacher Spirit. We are grateful and we are honored that you would allow us to merge our energy with yours.
Thank you for being here with me today. And for all of those who are listening, are very excited to hear you talk with us today. So speaking with the man Gregory, because I know I've talked to a bunch of entities now, I call them the man Gregory, we have decided to ask some questions about some affirmations that I try to talk about each week. And the first that I would like your input on would be, I am open to love. So what can we learn from that affirmation?
We would begin by suggesting that not being open to love could be a very interesting topic. The opposite of the affirmation, so to speak, which one would assume is the experience one is having if one is using the affirmation, I am open to love. Whose love am I not open to? That is the question we would ask. We are not in a place to offer advice per se, but we are in a place as a teacher to offer questions that are very valid and important to each student. And that student answers the question from within and therefore finds the path that will lead them to whatever it is they wish for. And the term love on your planet is quite difficult to define. What is love? Is it a sense of devotion? Is it a kind of dependency? Is it a certain set of expectations that one would see in the behavior of another? What is love? That is a challenging definition to define, to create. So, in terms of love, it is an emotion, and it is often identified as coming from the heart, which is a fascinating sort of definition when you think about what the heart actually does in a human being. It actually is a massive muscle that pumps a tremendous amount of fluid through the body. And so the fact that one would imagine love would come from the heart, we think the heart is actually a kind of emotional center inside of human beings. And truth be known, it's probably not inside. It's probably on the outside as much as it is on the inside. So love becomes a kind of dream. And that, of course, means relationship. And it is important to understand that the relationship that one has with self is possibly the determinant of what sort of relationship one could expect with another human being or other human beings, depending on whether or not one decides to be monogamous or otherwise, and we've no judgment of all of that. And so, beginning with the relationship with self, perhaps a question to ask oneself is, what part of me am I not loving?
Yes. That is a good question to ask. And it's funny that you said relationships, because right under the sentence, I am open to love, I wrote, how can we strengthen our relationships with ourself and others, to piggyback off that affirmation, I am open to love?
The first beginning step might be to look at one's judgment of self. And from the time a human being is born, there is a feeling of separation between what one might call the creator and oneself. In other words, after the birth takes place, there is a period of time where one begins to feel that separation more strongly. And of course, then maybe one grows to the age of 22, 26, 30, 35. At some point, there is a kind of programming that says, I am tired of this separation. I must find a way to reconnect with my soul, which is tantamount to reconnecting with the Creator. We are not talking about religion. We are talking about a form of spirituality. And we certainly have no judgment about religion. We have no judgment about anything. In the mind, one often says this is good or bad, this is good or evil. Those are judgments. What is on your planet simply is. It's not a question of being good or bad. One could define it as a certain frequency of vibration, of course, and that would be a bit different. There may not be much judgment in that. But the point is this. As that form of separation becomes overwhelming, one ultimately decides that one must find out for self what one's spiritual attitude is. And once that separation begins to shift or to change, one begins to believe in one's closeness to the Creator. That can happen through an accident. It can happen through an illness. It can happen through the loss of another human being, something that is quite tragic. Mm-hmm. But it forces a human being to look very carefully at their experience and to decide that perhaps, even though it is a traumatic experience emotionally, it is also an opportunity to look at life differently, an opportunity to perhaps have a second chance. Sometimes these are near-death experiences. Sometimes they are terribly frightening. And what is even more interesting is, actually, our truth is that as a human being, you program that event to occur. And of course, your question would then be, why would we choose such a ridiculous or traumatic experience? Mm-hmm. You would choose it because it makes an amazing impression upon you. You can't deny that it happened. You can't deny the way you feel about it. And you certainly cannot deny the tragic outcome of it if it is tragic. And one can't bear that for the rest of one's life. Or if you do, you are certainly going to have a rather unpleasant experience. And so you must begin to look at that trauma in a different way. And part of that trauma is, how am I judging myself? And if I am judging myself, how do I forgive myself? And the next question we would ask is, whom have you abandoned in this life? Was there someone perhaps who loved you very much, and for whatever reason you decided to leave them or abandon them? That, of course, can be looked at from many different perspectives. But the question is not the horrid nature of having abandoned them, because that, again, is a judgment. The question is, am I capable of forgiving myself for having done so? And the moment one forgives oneself, what happens is the ability to love once more.
Going off of what you're saying, and it falls in suit with today's affirmation, which was making a life you love with, I am open to love. So let's say a trauma happened, a tragic event occurred, and we shut down our heart. Because you do feel heartbreak, literally. You can feel it right in your heart when it happens. What happens to those of us who can't reopen our heart in this life? What happens to us?
Well, that is an excellent question. What do you imagine happens to those who cannot reopen their heart? The first question is, why can't they reopen their heart? And the answer is, they have experienced such traumatic pain that they do not feel they can live beyond it. They can't survive allowing such a possibility of that pain to happen again. And so they put up a wall around their heart and their body, and they armor themselves to such a degree that nothing can get in. And then they live in a state of isolation and, what would you call it, perhaps singleness, solitary, mm-hmm. whatever word you might choose to use. Isolation is probably the best. In other words, they no longer are vulnerable. There is no way that they are going to let any other human being get close to them. Mm-hmm. And there are numerous kinds of statements about that. You are not an island. No man is an island, and we would say no woman is an island. And you also say on your planet, it takes a village. What does that mean? It means that the only way you can learn is to allow yourself that vulnerability once again. But if you assume that the experience is going to be a painful one, then of course you are not ever going to allow anyone that closeness that could bring you the love that you say you so desperately desire.
And when I refer to love, I'm talking about all different kinds of love, not just romantic love. So that would apply to love of friends, love of family, love of the earth, love of animals. There's a lot of ways people close themselves off. So I wasn't just referring to romantic relationships. But before we get into the next part of our conversation, we're almost up at the time of the break. So I would prefer to take our break here. And that way I don't have to interrupt you, Master Teacher Spirit, in the middle of a thought, if that is okay.
It is absolutely perfect.
Great. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. Okay, so we'll go right back into it. So Master Teacher Spirit, going on the I am open to love affirmation, let's say it was a parent who lost a child or a child who lost a parent, and they never could open their heart again in this life. Would they have to come back and re-experience something like that again to learn how to reopen their heart?
They would confer with their counsel upon transition into the other side and determine how that lesson would most easily be learned, because the universe is an efficient place and if it were decided that another incarnation into this or some other species would teach that lesson, then the answer to your question is yes. On the other hand, if there were another way they could learn it more quickly, then it is likely that they would not have to return. So that is a decision that would be made after the transition and the life review occurred.
So that makes it sound like we as a soul or spirit have say in how we want to move forward in our evolution. Yes?
You are sovereign beings. And as bizarre as it may sound to you in the human experience, you decide precisely what your experience and your response will be. And this is how it works, because many of you don't understand it. Your heart generates energy. It sends that energy down into the solar plexus. That energy, that frequency, that vibration, if you will, or even emotion, if you want to call it that, is then generated out into the universe, and it attracts to it a similar frequency. So given the example you have given us, one who has lost their child and cannot forgive God, so to speak, because they are so angry about that loss, which is certainly understandable, or one who has lost a parent whom they depended on greatly, the energy that they carry in their heart is a bitter energy. It is an energy of perhaps hatred, and it might be self-hatred. They might blame themselves for something they think they didn't do, and they could have saved that entity. That's not the truth, but that's how they see it. It becomes their truth. So what is the energy that they are sending out of their solar plexus? And we are asking you that question. What do you imagine they're sending out?
They're sending out resentment and anger and sadness and loneliness and frustration and bitterness. That's what they're sending out.
And is that a low frequency or is that a high frequency?
That is a low frequency.
So now, what are they going to attract in their life?
Yes, they're going to attract more of those things that resonate on that low vibration, more sadness, more anger, more reasons to be frustrated, more examples of proof to be bitter against the world. That's what they're going to manifest.
And that is precisely how they see it. They see it as proof that the world is a horrible place. The world is a bitter place. The world is a place where there is no love. And therefore, in your affirmation, in your manifestation, I will manifest instant success. We added the words and health. How can they manifest instant success and health and love if they are constantly putting out this bitter feeling of a low vibration of hatred? They cannot. So what is the secret? They must forgive. They must forgive God, they must forgive themselves, they must forgive the child, they must forgive the parent, they must forgive the experience. And what is the question they ask? What am I to learn from that horrid experience of loss and abandonment that I had? I am to learn that that love that I seek so desperately from that individual is alive and living within me. In other words, their love that they think they have lost is still quite alive within themselves. And how does that happen? Maybe they meet someone who's had a similar experience and says, look, you have a choice. Your choice is to continue your life in the manner that you desire. And that manner at this point in time is one of self-punishment. It's one of self-hatred. It's one of horrid experience. Or you can begin to express your emotions. You can express your anger and your bitterness. And you do it, of course, safely. There are thousands of ways of doing it. And then once you have expressed it and you create a kind of vacuum inside where all of that anger and bitterness and irritation has been released, now you fill it up with something different. Maybe a sense of community, maybe a sense of fellowship and companionship. Maybe you don't even know what you're going to fill it up with, but you must express it. You must get it out before you can allow something else in. Now, you asked about the aspect of reincarnation. If one decides that they are going to be hateful for the rest of their life, they are never going to forgive the one who left, then they will probably have to reincarnate under more dire circumstances, more unpleasant circumstances. Who in their right mind would want that? That's a bit of insanity, isn't it? We love your definition of insanity.
Yes, it's
doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yes, that is true. Well, I'm glad you mentioned the second, we were going to talk about I Will Manifest instant success and healing, because I wanted your perspective. I believe that it's possible, although I don't know how it's possible or that it may be easy. Maybe it is easy for some, for others it's not. But instant, is it on our earthly plane able to manifest instant healing and instant success?
Absolutely. The question, of course, is what does it require?
Yes.
It requires an instantaneous change in one's belief system. If one can change one's beliefs, and it is said in your Bible, it can take place in 21 days. Well, if it can take place in 21 days, can it not take place in 21 hours? Can it not take place in 21 minutes? You see, we don't have time on our side. You have time only because you have created clocks and various other instruments to monitor it. And you have done that so that everything doesn't happen all at once in the same place. We find that amusing, clearly. And so, if one could create that in 21 days, one could certainly create it in 21 minutes or maybe 21 seconds. I will change my belief system. I will allow myself in my heart to believe something entirely different. For instance, I deserve to have all the love that I want in my life. I deserve to have all the love that I want in my life. Any kind of love, companionship, fellowship, loving friends, a loving partner, a loving romantic relation. I deserve to have all the love I can handle and more. We love it when you offer the words and more. I deserve to have all the money I can spend and more. I deserve to have all the friends I can enjoy and more. I deserve to have all of the experiences that I can handle and more.
So then, what is it with us humans that we don't manifest instant, especially with healing, spontaneous healing or instant success? Is it because we question our belief? Is that what we tend to do?
It's actually because you don't question your beliefs. When you go to the doctor and he says, or she says, you have 6 months to live. And if you don't do this and that and the other, and if you don't get your affairs in order, and if you don't so and so and so and so, well, you have 6 months. The first thing you must do is stop believing that story. And then your brain says, but it's science. It's proven that anyone who has the condition that I have has to die in 6 months. Well, whose story are you going to believe? What if you were to change your mind and you were to say, I don't think so? First, I'm going to ask the question, why have I manifested this condition within my being? What aspect of self-hatred am I generating here? And how can I change that into self-love?
And That's a good question.
Rather miraculously, and any physician will tell you that they have encountered these experiences, they call it a miracle. Or if they're religious, they call it an act of God, or Allah, or whomever they believe God to be. And they cannot explain why your condition has spontaneously reversed itself. Well, the question remains, what am I to learn from this experience? Is it self-love? Is it that I don't need all the attention I think my illness or disease generates for me? Is it because I do not want to stand on my own 2 feet, and therefore I want everyone to feel sorry for me? Is it because I cannot handle the greatness that my soul believes I can manifest on this planet? You see, there are many possibilities. Many of you got sick when you were children, and when you got sick, what did you experience? What happened?
Well,
you got to stay home from school, yes?
Sure, we got to stay home from school, and mother or parent took care of you and made you, you know, homemade soup and gave you medicine, and you got to stay in bed, and yeah. Exactly.
You got special treatment.
You got special treatment, right.
Magnify that 1,000 times. And what do you create? You create a hypochondriac who believes that they do not deserve to be loved unless there is something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Now, many would argue that's blowing it out of proportion, and that is a possibility. But you would be surprised how many people have used that particular experience to become hypochondriacs, ill people for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And the way they can change that experience is to change the belief. I deserve to be healthy and happy. I deserve to be loved. I deserve to experience, to manifest instant success and health. I deserve it. And there are hundreds of thousands of cases where that has actually been the case, where they have had a terminal illness, and through some absurd anomaly, that's what the doctor would call it, that is completely unexplainable, they are still alive, and the doctor perished 4 or 5 years ago. That's a touch of irony, as you would call it on your planet.
That is true.
The doctor who proclaimed I would be dead in 6 months actually died 2 years ago. I was sorry to attend his funeral. Actually, maybe they weren't quite so sorry as they said they were. Maybe they thought it was rather ironic. So you see, the doctor proved to be their teacher. What did the doctor teach them? The doctor taught them that it is entirely dependent on what truth one believes in terms of determining one's experience.
It always comes down to our beliefs. Yeah.
You change your beliefs and you change your experience.
Yes.
Wow. Do you know what the man Ashid walks around saying all day?
What?
There's more than enough. There is more than enough time, there is more than enough money, and there is more than enough energy for me to accomplish everything I desire.
Oh, I love that. I
may
borrow that.
Who do you imagine told him to start believing that?
You.
Absolutely. Because he believed in scarcity, that is what he always experienced. And the moment that belief began to shift, his life became abundant.
This is
and he wants to share that abundance with everyone. But not everyone wants to have that abundance.
That
they say
true.
They do, but they don't. Because they become stubborn. You're a very stubborn race, you human beings, and we say that with a great deal of love.
We are.
We're not judging you, but you can be very stubborn.
Well, I thank you, Master Teacher Spirit. We only have like 30 seconds left, and we have to wrap up, and I appreciate you being here with me today. I'm so honored. Thank you.
It has been a joy to be in service. Great peace and much love to you. So
thank
be it.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory, for being here with me today. And please check out Gregory and his work at his website, gregorypossman.com. Thanks, Gregory. That was great.
Good fun.
Good fun. Thank you all for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave, and wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.